should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're going to spend just a few moments in prayer together, friends. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the Bible tonight. That especially in the days in which we live, in every way, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And very particularly, as you've been seeing over these last few Sundays, it shows us, Lord, how to pray. And we confess, Lord, that so often the one area where we battle with more than others is at prayer. But thank you that Jesus teaches us how to pray. Help us to love you more. So that we want to pray more. Help us to grow in our knowledge of you, Lord, so that as we grow, we'll be a sheer delight spending more time with you. And as we come this evening, we come very, very conscious that at heart, we are all weak, and we are very, very frail. And the devil is too strong for us. And the world at times tries to suck us into its mold. And we have an old nature that fights against our new one. And we pray with sincerity tonight, please lead us not into temptation, but please deliver us from the evil one. We also pray, Lord, that you will be with our missionaries tonight. We thank you that we can pray for them. We pray very much for Rod and Linda, they teach your word over there in Japan, and thank you for the lovely fruit that they are seeing from their ministry at the moment. For Richard and Val in India, we pray for them as they get ready to come on Thursday next month. Thank you for Greg and Ronnie and their new work that they're starting in Paraguay. Thank you for James and Dawn in Mozambique. Thank you for Sandy up in Ethiopia, Lord, for Liana in Belgium. Thank you for Pam and for Mel here in KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you for Anderson as he plants the new work in the Sonder. How we long that work over the next few years may become a lighthouse in that area within other churches, Lord, preaching the precious word of God. And we pray as a church that we never lose our passion for world missions. Pray for our work here in our Jerusalem, in the schools, that you will be especially with John as he goes to Ashi. We pray that other schools will open for us. We pray to the Lord for all this food that has been given, and we thank you that we can show the love of Jesus in our community. Please be with us now, Lord. Please teach me, or everybody else would, to pray more and to pray better. Amen. Guys, I do hope afterwards that you'll get those two things. You'll get your green slip that helps us to pray as a church every day, and you'll get that prayer letter from Janice as to how to pray for our missionaries. She does a phenomenal work in collecting all the information from all our missionaries. We're in regular contact with them, and it's wonderful, and we can pray properly for what they are doing. Now, just for a moment, it's always good to recap, if you don't mind. The disciples have come to Jesus, and they said these words to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Those are moving words to me anyway. And as we've mentioned, they never asked Jesus to teach them how to evangelize. They never asked Jesus to teach them how to preach. They never asked Jesus to teach them how to run Bible studies. They never asked Jesus to do any of that. But you see, the one area that is absolutely critical for us, and as you look over church history, and you look at every man or woman that's been used by God, right from day one, my friends, there's a common denominator running right through. They all prayed. Lord, teach us how to pray. And maybe like myself, certainly when I became a Christian, I didn't know how to pray. I'm still baffled today. I want to pray more and in a deeper way. But then in Ravenhill says that our prayers so often become awkward, cramped, and confused. And he's right. Remember the same thing over and over? That cram before we shoot off to work, or we've got a spare second. And Jesus very wonderfully says, this is how you do it. And what have we seen? You begin always with worship. That's where you start. You don't start with going with your requests. You begin with worship. And you get caught up in the amazing truth that God has become your Father. He's your Father in heaven. He's in control of everything. He loves us and he loves to hear us. And that's a wonderful way to pray. And that's where you begin. And then Jesus says, there are six main things that you and I would focus on in our prayers. The first three are God-centered. And so we come to God and we pray, hallowed be your name. That's our first one. And there we long that across our world, the name and the character of our gracious God will be honored and revered and worshipped. Adoration. And from adoration, we move into a missionary zeal. And we pray, Thy kingdom come. And to help us, this little God is a great help to me every day. We pray for our missionaries every day. We pray for one another every day for those working in our area round about here. Because the kingdom of God comes as the gospel is spread. So from worship, we move into adoration. And then we get into missionary zeal. And the next section says, Jesus, you abandon all self-interest. And you pray, God, there will be done in my life. As it is in here. All we want in our lives, friends, is to do God's will. 24 hours a day. And having focused on the greatness and the wonder of God, we then move to ourselves, says Jesus. And you begin to pray for your present needs. Give us this day our daily bread. It's wonderful to have a Father who cares for us. 117,000 people in KwaZulu-Natal have been retrenched this year. That's a big need for many of them. Not our wants, please, my Father, my daily bread. And what is your need? Maybe for to pay the school fees. It may be wisdom how to deal with the situation. So what I need today, now, I bring to my Father. Having prayed for the present needs, Jesus says, then you look into the past. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And those failures and those times when we've slipped, we want to bring to our Father. We ask you to forgive us. In other words, a Christian keeps a clean slate. We love to do that. But we can't ask God to forgive us, friends, if we don't forgive others. No matter what they've done, we seek to forgive and to pour out the love of Jesus Christ into their lives. And then we come to our future. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins if we have done in the past. And then I come to my Father And I pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. And so as I come in my prayers, friends, you and I come, and we are deeply, deeply aware that at heart you're weak. You are not strong, if I may say that to you, and nor am I. We are weak, weak people. And because we are weak, the devil is too strong for us. And you and I, all the time as Christians, have the world around us, we have Satan all around us, and we have our old natures within us. And we fight against those three. And without the help of God, I'm going to fail. And I'm going to fall. Now, I don't need to remind you. Arguably, one of the greatest men that has ever lived was Noah. What happened to Noah? Got drunk. And he sinned appallingly. He was a great man. He fell hard. What happened to David? A man after the heart of God. Which I called. That's an amazing, amazing man. He fell hard. Solomon, Abraham, Jacob, Peter, Demas, they fell. And the sad thing is, and it just brings it unto us, doesn't it, as we come to this amazing request. So now look at these people. And I see how weak they were and how weak I am. And what does that do? It drives me onto my knees in prayer. So tomorrow when I go to the office, or to school, or to university, or there in my work at home, wherever I am, I say, please, Lord Jesus, I want you please to protect me. Because by myself, I'm too weak. And I want you to protect me. So that, Lord, I will not fall. That's the prayer. It's a fantastic prayer, isn't it? John Stott is one of my heroes, as you may say, a man who has done an amazing work around the world. I once had the privilege of having lunch with John Stott. I shook his hand and I never washed my hand for a month. I thought, well, I would shake the hand of this great man. But you know, it was amazing. Everything I would love to be in life, I saw in him. And he said this. Behind these words that Jesus gives us to pray are the implications that around us the devil is too strong. And that we are too weak to stand up against him. But that our Heavenly Father will deliver us if we call against him. And praise God for that. So first of all, let's see where the sources of testing and temptation comes. So that's a little thing. When Jesus says here, and lead us not into temptation, the accurate translation of that word parasmos is actually testing. It's testing. And I'll explain to you in just a moment. Where do these sources come from that will try and do everything they can to bring you down? And the first one, folks, is your own depraved heart. You know, for you and I as Christians, for those of you who become Christians, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. You see, in many ways, that believer doesn't know what's going on. But this is what happens in a Christian. Just remember this. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify those desires of your sinful nature. Because the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict, so that you do not do what you want. Has that ever happened to you? And you say, man, I've done it, and I didn't want to do it. And I said, and I didn't want say it. What I thought of us was, as it, man, I could never have allowed those thoughts into my head. Has it ever happened? So he says they're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want to do. And what are these acts of the sinful nature? He makes it clear. He says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, orgy, envy, drunkenness, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So for you and I, there's a battle. There's a battle in your heart and in my heart between what I was and what I am, between the old nature and the new nature, and there's a war. And I need to pray that my Father will give me the strength not to surrender to the flesh. A very young little girl, she's 26 years of age, is a lovely, lovely Christian. A lovely, lovely Christian, comes out of a fantastic Christian home, has just fallen pregnant outside of marriage. It has shattered her family. Now you see, is she a Christian? Yes. No doubt about that. But what happened? The weakness of the flesh was too strong. Sleeps with a boyfriend, and she's pregnant. And the baby's due, I think, in July. And we know that well. Very, very, very well. I want to tell you, my friends, the flesh is strong. It's too strong for you. Be careful. The second issue is the world. There's a world out there. And it's a foreign world. And that world is going to do all it can to squeeze you and me into its mold. John MacArthur, I know he's one of the older writers, but he's absolutely fantastic on this. He says, and so the petition in Matthew 6:13 is based on a self-distrust. The kingdom child realizes that we live in a fallen world and it collides against it with tremendous temptations that in our own humanness we cannot resist. And so there are things in the natural world. We are confronted by disease. And by death. I know you do as long as I did. We've got a very close friend. She's got three kids. And she's got cancer. Serious cancer. And of her own free will, she's decided at the moment that she doesn't want to have chemo. Which is not quite so good. I pray, please help her, Lord, not to allow a very difficult trial to so overwhelm her. Give her grace. But the world is defeating. Sometimes it comes from the intellectual side. It's difficult for modern man to find the truth because his judgments are partial and unfair. His tampering with relative thinking leads to a destruction that is inevitable. Natural man is propelled by his own self-bias. His logic is ruled by pride and often his intellect by lust. And material gain makes liars out of men. There's a constant colliding of human opinions. It's the same in the emotional world. There's grief and anxiety. And our inability sometimes to handle destructive attitudes may shore up our spirits Did our soul chafe by the conflicts of others? Envy may sting us. Hate may embitter us. Greed may eat away at us like cancer. And I come to Jesus and say, please, Lord, help me. Please help me. It's tough out there. Please help me. By myself, I'm too weak. And then, of course, there's a spiritual realm. The evil tendencies dominate man that has been affected by the fall. And all of this comes together. And it's one purpose. It wants to squeeze us into its mold. So I've got an old nature. I've got a lovely young Christian girl. Who's in trouble. She fell. To her lust. 1 second of madness has affected her life. Brothers, it's the world and it squeezes. Jesus said sometimes the seed is sown and the love of riches and the deceitfulness of riches and the love of the world comes and it squeezes. Squeezes people in their love for Christ. But the third area, of course, is Satan. And you know, we believe in him, friends. We believe in him. If you've never read a book, I'll meet you at our library afterwards. Can't get it if you've never read it. It's called Screwtape Letters. It is phenomenal. It's letters written by a senior devil to a junior devil. And he describes how they work. His name is Wormwood. And Wormwood comes, he sits on the shoulder and he says to the Christian, whatever. And he tempts and he tests. And he does all he can to cause you and I to fall into, get away from Jesus. He's full of malice. That's what the Bible tells us. Full of malice. He's diligent. You see, Peter tells us, be self-controlled and vigilant always. Your enemy is prowling around like a lion. And he's seeking those who he may devour. He's powerful. John 14 calls him the prince of the world. He's subtle. He's subtle. And so he comes there. I pray this prayer of Jesus. Please, Lord, tomorrow, I'm weak. I don't trust myself. I need you. Because I've got the old nature out there, I've got the world out there, I've got the devil out there, I want you please to help me not to fall to the evil one, to the devil himself. And I pray. And the fourth area, sometimes, are also the trials that come our way. The trials that come our way. And that's the, as I mentioned when we started, the actual word that is used, so it should really be lead us not into trials, pyrosmos. It's a better translation than the word temptation. And what it's saying is, please Lord, when the trials are there, help me not to be so overwhelmed that I crumble. And when my sister died, it was a huge shock to our little family. It was a massive thing. And it came as a huge shock. And I remember being up there in Joburg, and I took my dad's hand and my mother's, and I held him away, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't understand all that's happening here. But I just want you to please look after my dad through this enormous time of testing. Please let it draw them closer to Christ and not to overwhelm them. Because sometimes that's overwhelmed with trials. And they crumble. Trials are good for us. But this prayer says, Lord, you know me. And how much I can cope. And I don't want it to overwhelm me. I want to be too big for me. But God allows him to come. The purpose is always to strengthen us. Always. And so James, you all know that passage. It's so helpful, and we read it to folks in the James Tasse. But it says this: consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you will know that the testing of your faith will always develop perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work, so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. So when the trials come, they're not going to take them away from you. They are good for you. They are there to strengthen you. But what this prayer is telling me is this: pray for grace in a trial so that you won't crumble, but rather allow God to use it for your good. So the purpose is always to strengthen us. The purpose is always to draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose is to make us mature in every way. So what am I praying? Lord, without you, I can't do it. I think it's also in the library there. It's arguably one of the best, if that's the right word, missionary biographies that you can get. It's from a man called John Payton. And it's written about his ministry in the New Hebrides. John Payton was a young man in his late 20s. And he said, Lord, I'm available. I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything for you. And he was led to become a missionary, to go to a group of people that had never heard about Christ. That was his calling. We haven't all got that calling, but it was for him. And he goes there. And he took his young wife with him. And they recently got married and wanted to give their lives to serve Christ. And it was difficult there. It was unbelievable, because wherever they went, they would build a little home for themselves, and the people that they were seeking to reach and build in relationships would burn down their homes, and they had to move on all the time. It was incredibly difficult. And then, of course, it happened that their little one died. It was a huge thing. And then, in the purposes of God, his wife died. And one of the most moving diaries you could ever read is the words of John Payton. He wrote something like this. He says this: I know that grave close by to the home where we used to live. And there with a broken heart I lay the dust of my loved ones in that grave. And this is the great words. He said, and there, that became my much frequented shrine where I labored on for the salvation of those people that I had come to lead to Christ. And were it not for Jesus and the presence that he promised me there, I would have gone mad and I would have died beside that lonely grave. What incredible words. You see, exactly what this is saying. The trials come, there's no bitterness, there's no anger. There's no, I'm going home and I'm going back to England, or going back to Scotland. No, no. Lord, by your grace, I'll bury my child. By your grace, I'll bury my wife. But I'm not going to stop. And you know what, friends? It's the most amazing story. Because they had revival under John Payton. Hundreds. But the cost was big. You see, what we pray is, when the trials come, please help me, Lord. Please give me your grace. Please give me your strength. Please preserve me. And please protect me. This petition then recognizes the danger. That here I'm living in a cursed world. We are being battered by evil and the world around us. It confesses the weakness of my own flesh, the absolute lack of human resources, and I need the protection of my Father. And what has my Father promised? This is what he promised. God is faithful. And he will not permit you to be tested above what you are able to endure. But will even with that testing make a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. Praise God for that. So tomorrow or tonight, when you pray, hallowed be your name, Father. That's all I want. I want your kingdom to extend right across the world. I want thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please help me with my daily bread today. And forgive me my sins. Forgive me when I fail you. Please forgive me. And God will. And give me that grace that I will forgive those who sin against me. Unconditionally. And my Father, please help me. As I go into the world and face testings, temptations that sometimes come from my own flesh, from the world, from Satan. Without you, Lord, I'm finished. I'm going to fall, just like many great men and women have fallen in the past. But let's pray that God will keep us close to him, and that when they come, we'll be like John Payton, strong. What a great prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this passage. And we know that it's incredibly relevant, certainly for today. And the old nature so easily wants to cause us to wander and to do what we shouldn't do and to think what we shouldn't think, to speak what we shouldn't speak, to watch what we shouldn't watch, all this sort of thing. And the world, Lord, is so quickly trying to squeeze us into its mold. And wormwood gives us no rest. And we come to you tonight as our precious, wonderful, faithful Father and say, please help us. Please give us the strength to come through the day stronger than ever before. Help us, Lord, to be strong as we are up against the evil one. And help us at the end of the day to say with the apostle, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith, and I finished the race. Thank you for your promise that you will never test us above what we are able to endure, but you will always make a way of escape that we may be able to endure it. We are so grateful. And now, grant us with your blessing, take us home and safely home, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.